Mem Zayin, Perik Mem Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay, we have some hard words here. Perik Mem Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph. Beat so sov, ugiva of, velo ye rafu, lemelech nitanu. Even though we learned in the previous psukim that most of the waters are going to be healed from their pollution, which not really, I mean, not pollution, salt, the salt content is going to be removed from the waters. And the fish will thus be able to multiply due to the fact that the waters will no longer be contaminated with salt, which to us is very hard to understand because most of the fish that we consume today is saltwater fish. We need salt. We need salt that the fish can live. If there is no salt, then most of the fish that we are familiar with would die instantly. That's why the aquariums, are you familiar with this? Aquariums, there are two types of aquariums. There is freshwater aquariums and there is the saltwater aquariums. Very, very expensive to have a saltwater aquarium.
Why?
I don't think because you have to have the right amount of salt. It has to be a perfect balance. A perfect balance of Shalom Aleichem. How are you? How are you? Good to see you.
Thank you.
You have to have a very, very, it's almost very, very rare having the home. Anyone having their home? You ever hear a person has in their home a saltwater aquarium in their home? Never. In aquariums, you know, public aquariums in zoos and whatever, these big aquariums, that's where they have these saltwater aquariums, and it's very, very expensive. In fact, I remember many of the years ago, I went to Rabbi Deutsch, the Living Torah Museum, and he was talking about, at the end of the tour, about he showed us the chilazo and the chilas that he wants to set up in the museum an aquarium for the different types of candidates for the Techeles.
That'd be interesting.
The Techeles. And he said to us, I remember then, this was so many years ago, he says that the cost is just way over the top. Because for the Chilazon, he needs a saltwater aquarium. And to pull that off in the museum in Bar Park, it would cost an enormous amount of money. Because it's not so simple how to have, you know, with the salt, it causes erosion, and you have to have the proper amount of salt, it has to always be tested. It's not so simple. So it's not really clear what this pasuk of it means, is that it says in the previous pasuk, it seems to get the implication is that when the Mashiach will come, and this water will come from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it will cause all the waters of the world to be desalinated. Is that the right word? Desalinated? Desalinization, so that when that will happen, then the waters will be fresh water, and that will cause a ribuy in fish. Okay, but it says of the Pasuk Yud Aleph that not every body of water will be, the salt will be removed, because salt is something which we need for this world, and therefore in the Beit Soysav, Ugiva of, these are two different types of bodies of water, like ponds. We'll see in the Mitzudos, different types of ponds, these will not, velo ye rafu, they will not be healed, they will not be affected by the water from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why? Levelech nitanu, because the world needs salt. Al kol karboncha takriv melach. Where are they going to get the salt from if all of the salt is going to disappear from this world? So therefore, there has to remain in this world some water where there's going to be salt. Let's see in the Mitzudos, Pasuk Yud Aleph. In the Mitzudos, David, the Pasuk says, Beit soysav ugiva of asifas hamayim shemimal hatit. Halach hasamach alayam. This refers to two different bodies of water, a cushion of water that's above ktid means clay, like mud. Halach hasamach al hayam. Trenamayim hamiskansim viboyrois, samach layam, different water that goes into pits near the yam. Lo ye rafu mimelichasan kilomelech yunisunim lahat in hatav shilim, in order to give flavor to the dish. This is vilumloyach called davar sheyitzdorech, and to provide salt for all things that need salt. I don't know what the doctors will, the cardiologists will say about this. Okay, they'll tell you no sodium, no salt in your diet. Salt is not a good thing to eat. So I it's interesting. What does Chazal say about salt? They actually say now Dr. Friedman is here. The new studies that I've read is that it's not really salt. Is this correct? It's not really salt that's dangerous. It's the lack of potassium, the balance. You need potassium. Potassium, the more that the problem why people have problem with salt is because they don't have a balance, the proper balance of potassium relative to salt. If a person has salt, it's okay. Provided that the parallel to salt, there is an increase in potassium. The vast majority of the population, they have salt, but they don't have the potassium. That's why the salt becomes sakana. That's a new. That's a very new. It's a new cutting edge research. Is that true? I'm probably telling me everyone all the new, will say it's not true. What?
Very high potassium bananas.
Yeah, but that's not going to do it. You take a 5 bananas a day, it's not going to match up. You have meat every night. You know, also we live.
When you live at a cramp, yeah. It means you don't have enough potassium.
Okay, so that's
to eat mustard.
In the modern world, salt is viewed as an enemy. It's the enemy of man. It's going to kill a person. And that's not, now what I've read is they're discovering it's not necessarily true. It's not that the salt is the danger, it's that the balance of other minerals that are needed to counteract the salt is what's lacking. Because Chazal over here are telling you, I mean, you have to understand, what does that mean? First of all, you know, we live a religious life, we have a big problem because all of our meat is salted. Okay, Goyim don't have this problem. Goyim don't salt their meat, they don't kasher meat. So they don't have that much salt.
But a lot of Goyim prefer...
salted meat?
No, Jewish.
Why? Why?
Because it's much cleaner. I'm telling you.
Cleaner.
They think it's fresher.
Okay, maybe there are other factors, but one thing is certain is that non-kosher meat, l'chora, according to the doctors, is healthier because non-kosher meat is not salted. They don't kasher it. They don't kasher.
There's always remnants of residue inside.
Of course, you know, we go to Schlachthaus, they take it and they bury it in salt. Eat a piece of chicken. You know how much salt is in a piece of chicken? It's saturated in salt.
You know, the problem is it's a shadow of coverage already because they put in too
so much salt.
I
worked as much
as
I can.
And put it for 24 hours in
salt brine.
And make the taste different. Or, if you don't want to do that, buy a kosher turkey.
Because the kosher turkey is saturated in salt.
Yes.
Okay, and any of that over here makes put over the world needs salt. The world needs salt, and the Mitsuda says, because if there's no salt, it's tasteless. Okay, if you don't have salt in your diet, obviously, if you're not used to it, people who don't eat salt, it doesn't bother them. Does one because that's what they use. So no matter what you use to pasig,
how come it doesn't mention about kabbanech takra melech?
Okay, well, on the kabbanist, I don't know. I don't know. Good point. Why so does he mention? I don't know. It's a good point. Okay, see Rashi. Rashi pasig get aleph. Rashi. Let's first look at the mitzudos tzion first because he translates two hard words. In the mitzudos tzion pasig get aleph, it says bitzoy sav ken yikar kenis hamayim b'makom hatit halach. The word bitzoy sav means a pond. The chain hayige goyme below vitsa, will a goyme swell without a vitsa? It's a pan. Okay, over there in that context, it means a pan. Then the next one is ugiva of inin chafiru bar means a pit. Kmo the lach soif mayim migev. Another pasuk it means a pit. Okay, let's go. Now let's see Rashi pasuk yud aleph. He tells us bitsoy sav shel yom. It means the ponds that are on the outskirts of the sea. He quotes the pasuk as the mitzvah hayiga goyme below vitsa.
So you're learning Rashi now.
I'm now reading Rashi, oh, and the next words of Rashi are ugiva of. What's that? What it means? Kmo os oso hanachal hazeh gave him. Period. It's a pasuk malach, which means that the nachal was full of pits. Pits means pits which you store water. Habitzim him habitzoim shebesivos as shebesivosav. The bitzim are ponds that are on the outskirts of the yam. Vehagevim him nikoim. These are pits. Shahamayim neesafim bohem. In these two different types of bodies of water, it will not be healed. Velo ye rafu lehepich. Adarab limsika. It will not be transformed into sweet waters from salt water. Why? Lama ki lemelech nitanu. The world needs salt. V'lo yirafu havav hazot tefela v'yiser the vav v'lo. You don't need the vav in the word. It said lo yirafu. There's no need for the vav in the past, but that's just the style of writing. There's really no need for. There is the world needs salt. Let's go to Pasuk Yudeis. The al hanachal yale al sefaso mizel mizel kol etz machol. Now we're going back to the trees. And along this stream, this massive stream which is coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it starts off as a teeny little stream from the size of the antenna of a locust. Then it gets bigger the size of a shasi, a cord of thread. And then it gets thicker the size of Erith. And then we had four different measurements. It says then 1,000 amos later on it was afosim, ankle deep. Then it became the size of the knees. Then it went into the loins, and then the water swelled to the degree where you cannot pass through. You needed to swim to get across the water. So, and then we go further, it turns into a massive, massive nachal, and on the banks of the nachal, we learned before, there are fishermen fishing, spreading nets in order to catch fish, and now it says, in addition, there's going to be trees growing along the sides of the nachal, drawing their nourishment from this water, that's really starting off in the Kodesh HaKodashim. And what type of tree are we dealing with? Kol Eitz Nachal. All different types of food, lo yibol oleyu, something which we do not understand. The leaves will never wither. Not like what we are familiar with today. Lo yibol oleyu, lo yitam piyo, the food will never come to an end. Lo chodoshav yivakar. This is a part that's quoted very often. It will, you'll pluck off an apple, come back in a month, there'll be a replacement. Unlike today, where trees only produce fruit more or less once a year. There are very few rare trees which produce fruit twice a year. But most fruit trees in the world produce fruit once a year. In the time of Mashiach, at least the trees that grow along the banks of these, this nachal, will replenish themselves once a month.
Every year.
12 crops in
but
one month.
That's the reason why you make weights, because it grows from year to year.
It grows from year to year. What, therefore what? Shachyanu.
Because a tree that you have to replant again,
yeah.
After that one year, no weights is required, only a prepared dhamma. That's what it says in the place in the Batanura. The Rav writes like that.
I'm not familiar. I thought the difference between eights and a gizay machlif, if you were to cut it down, would it grow back? So this means the fruit, and you're referring to the bark, you're referring to the object itself. A tree is called, you make a bari per eitz on a tree,
right,
where if you were to cut down the branch,
right,
it would not grow back.
Right.
It would not grow back. That automatically means it's a tree. Something which does not, which grows on its own, is called a vegetable, and the baruch is bari per hadama. There are a few exceptions to that. But generally, a tree, like you said, is something she'ein gizay machlif. That we're not discussing here. This is going to be a regular tree. A regular tree. You're not cutting down the tree. You're plucking off the fruit. You have an apple tree. And you pull off an apple.
Once a year.
Once a year, of course. Apple, an apple tree. And cherries. Any fruit,
and
oranges.
Regrow,
no, once the fruit only comes, is harvested once a year. Even though you go into the supermarket and say you can find apples the whole year round, they come from all different parts of the world.
Right.
In the spring it comes from this country, and the next month they have a whole system of where they get fruit, where they get the fruit from, and that's why the price fluctuates. The price is never, you know, strawberries. Strawberries certain in the winter are extremely, the prices are just outrageous. Are like, why? Because there are not that many countries in the world which the season to produce fresh strawberries is in the winter. So therefore there is a very limited supply from a very far away place. And that's why it's so expensive. When it comes to apples are found all over the world, different cultures, and therefore it's not so expensive, but you're not getting it from the same place. Each apple tree only produces an apple once a year. Here, in the time of Mashiach, along the bank of this nachal, the trees are going to produce fruit once a month. You'll pluck off an apple, a month later you'll find a new apple. Why? Because the water comes from the Migdash. The fruit will be for eating. And now it introduces something new, which we have not yet learned, healing. That in times of Mashiach, there's going to be a renewal in the koyach of refuah. Diseases, illnesses that we do not have a refuah, we'll have new medicine. And where will the medicine come from? Will come from the leaves of the trees that are growing along the bank of the nachal that is coming forth from the Kodesh HaKodoshim. That's what the pasuk here says. Let's see over here. This pasuk is in the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Beis in the Mitzudos David. He begins Kol Eitz Ma'achol Ritzoynoi Loimar Migadel Peiros Haruim Lachila. Along the bank of this nachal will be trees which are fit for consumption. Lo yibol, lo yichmishu he'olin, v'lo yichlu hapri. The leaves will never wither, and the fruit will not cease. Ki kishayit lishu haperos shenispashlu miyod yigdalu timurasan chodoshim. When you pluck an apple off a tree, immediately a new one will take its place. V'zehu sh'amar. Each month it will replenish itself. How could it possibly be? Because this water is not natural water. This water is supernatural. The nutrients of this tree is coming from the Kodesh HaKodoshim. And as we learned yesterday, never in history was it shown that there is a natural spring in Yerushalayim. There's no such thing as natural springs in Yerushalayim. So how can it then be that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be a natural spring that will come from the Kodesh HaKodoshim? So we learned yesterday, Ein Hachinami, this is Lamala Miderech HaTeva. This is something that is supernatural. And being that it's supernatural, the water has supernatural properties which will allow the fruit to replenish once a month.
How would Shmuel adjust
the...
What?
I'm sorry.
Orla.
Oh, so orla is only when the tree grows for the very first time.
The first year.
The first 3 years. So he's saying very good. He's saying is that when these trees grow along the banks of this Nachal, for the first 3 years, their fruit is forbidden.
Oh, so not like the first.
But once you come to the fourth year, and it's Neter Avai, then the fruit has to be brought to Yerushalayim, even in the walls. Anyway, you're in the Yerushalayim, we assume you're in Yerushalayim. And then from there on in, there's no limit. Every month you'll have a new crop. It's only on the tree. The dinner oil is on the tree. On the first 3 years. The first 3 years it's forbidden. So L'chori, you're right, that this that you'll be able to eat every month, a new crop from a fruit that starts in year four. In year four, and L'chori, the entire year four, all of those fruits have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. They cannot be exported outside of Yerushalayim. And Hanan is a very good point.
So that's good.
Same thing, Bikurim every month,
every Bikurim? Bikurim? L'chayra na, you're asking a good question. You have to bring Bikurim, because is Bikurim a din on the crop, or is Bikurim a din in the year? You're asking very good. What is Bikurim? How do you view Bikurim? I don't know the answer to your question. L'chayra, it's in the year. Let's assume that it's in the year. I don't know, maybe you're right. I don't know. And are these trees, who owns these trees? I guess they pass through private property? I don't know. I don't know the answer. Yeah, L'chayra, yeah. Why not? Nothing. The Torah, the ninth of the animamins, the Torah is not going to change. The Torah is not going to change. So L'chayra, we are bound by all the laws of the Torah. It just happens to be that these trees are very unique. They're very unique. They're blessed trees.
That's good according to Rav, the supernatural. According to Shmuel and according to the Rambam, how would he adjust or explain these psukim?
What do you mean?
According to Shmuel, there's no difference between now.
Most of Shiach.
I
don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know. And what does it mean? Does this only fit according to? I don't know. Over here, it says there's going to be these unique
trees were in Migdash or not?
These trees, no. These trees are on the Har Habayis, starting after 4,000 Amos outside the Azara, is where the Nachal begins. That's what it says. Until you get to 4,000 Amos outside the Hechel, you don't come to a point where the waters are so massive, have swelled to the point where you need to swim to get across. And that's where the trees are going to begin to grow. So that's already in the Harabayis. The Harabayis was 3,000 Konim. Which Akon is 6,000 amos. You have to figure out the dimensions from the Hechel in the center, how, whatever. L'chayra, you're in Yerushalayim. The simple understanding over here is that you are still inside of Yerushalayim where these trees are growing. And perhaps the water continues to flow outside Yerushalayim too.
It went in one direction.
It went three directions. It went to first to Tveria, the Kinneret, and then it went to the Yam HaMelach. So that's outside Yerushalayim, that's in Eretz Yisrael, and then it went to the Akyanus, it went to the Mediterranean, so it's branching out. So obviously this Nachal is branching out throughout the entire Eretz Yisrael. And along the banks of this Nachal, we have these supernatural trees of every type of food, whose fruit is replenishes, rejuvenates every month, and the leaves are a source of medicine for every type of illness. Let's continue the Mitzvot of David. The Hoya period, call echad yeh orev v'toiv. Each fruit will be orev, will be sweet. pleasant. V'toyv l'machol v'olin yiyu misugolim l'rapois b'm kol choyli u'marka. There will be a new industry, a whole new medical industry based upon the leaves of these trees. Let's see what it says in Rashi. Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk says, l'chadoshav yivaker. Midei chodesh b'chodsho yivashel peyroisav. Each month, once a month, the fruit will be replenished. Next words, l'srufa, the leaves will be for healing. So here he quotes a chazal, perishu rabbi, saying, zal lahatir pe ilmim upe akarois. Now the word l'srufa is heter. Heter means, it's a new trikin. The last two letters are pe, the mouth, the opening. And the first letters are tof resh. Tof resh is short for heter. What's heter? To open.
To open, to loosen.
To loosen. So there are two pes. There is the peh lamala and the peh lamata. The peh lamata means the koyach hadibur. And the peh lamata means the koyach of puriya urviya, to be fruitful and multiply. It's a euphemism for the erva. It's a euphemism means that a woman will become pregnant and will have children. So the primary purpose of this, of the fruit, number one, will give man the koyach hadibur, to speak well. Okay, we say in the nusach of Tila on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, upischoin peh lameyachalim loch. It's a very hard expression to translate. You look in the art scroll, I think in every edition of the art scroll, they have changed the translation. They keep on changing the translation for those two words, lepischoin peh lameyachalim loch. In the interlinear, they have one translation. In the old art school, they have a different translation. And then, and what is it basically? One of the translations is eloquent speech. Pischoin peh. Eloquent. Eloquent speech. Like Rabbi Mayevsky, Rabbi Zotler, Rabbi Einemer, people who know how to speak. Eloquent speech. Upischoin peh. If you would ask the average person to translate the word upischoin peh, lam yachlim loch, I do not believe they would, the first thing they would say is what it says in the old editions of the art scroll, eloquent speech. That's how it's translated. Dr. Fruchter, welcome. Welcome to America. Upischoin peh, lam yachlim loch. So what, eloquent, what does that mean? So according to the art school, it doesn't mean that when Mashiach is going to come, that people are forced to learn how to speak English. Maybe that would be a good idea also. Well, speak Hebrew. What it means is they're going to be given a sophisticated dosage of the Koyach HaDibur. And you know, that's one of the problems in Israel. They've always spoken about this. One of the problems they've always struggled with, they don't have people that can defend them against all in public against the attack of all the anti-Semites throughout the world. Bibi, he was very good at that.
When
he was Netanyahu, he was probably the exception. He was probably the best they ever had. He was the ambassador. I'm sorry. I take it back. Correct. Okay. He was the legend. Abba Eden. And then after him, and they always had that video of Netanyahu, and Netanyahu was also fantastic. And people who have the koyach hadibur to eloquently defend Klal Yisrael. Okay, you have to defend Klal Yisrael with weapons, the front lines, the IDF, and you need people who know how to...
Articulate,
have the koyach hadibur to defend Klal Yisrael in the United Nations and on all the talk show, on the radio, and all of the cable news outlets. I mean, this is something which is just as important as having the IDF standing with all the sophisticated weapons on the boundaries and protecting Klal Yisrael. You have many different forms of defense. And that is something that unfortunately we have been lacking. More often than not, we are lacking in that koyach.
Because of the language, we have more people to speak English. Both Netanyahu and Abba Eman were fluent in English.
Correct. But he was the American.
It's called Hasbara. That's always been a problem.
Okay, here, I'm not making this up. It's Hasbara, always been a problem. That
it's always been a problem because because the attitude was always, who cares what anybody says?
Exactly. It's been a problem. And they've come to recognize that over the years, and they've had success sometimes more, sometimes less. But it's an ongoing problem. The Israeli government invests in weapons and in defense, and the Iron Dome, and you name it, all these most advanced, all the technology of weapons comes from Israel, And they've invested billions and trillions of dollars in these fields, but unfortunately they have not invested very much in training people to speak with eloquence and to be articulate to bring forth the opinion to the world of our side of the story. Okay, to defend with the koyach hadibur. And this is something that we are mispalel for. Upischoin peh, at least according to the article's translation, upischoin peh lama yachalim loch. I always love that translation. I was actually very disappointed when I saw a new translation. The article came out with a new edition. I don't know, somewhere one of their forms where they have so many different machzorim, and there it did not say that. It did not say eloquent speech. It had a whole different translation for those words, which, whatever, obviously, I am panim l'tora. There are many different interpretations of what that expression means. But you can definitely inject this idea into this Maimer Chazal. It's a very famous Maimer Chazal. Rashi's quoting. Look at the week one time. And it's based upon this pasuk. Listen to far. What?
It says mute. Someone that's not able to speak.
So someone who's a mute. So what does that mean? It means you can't talk, you can't say, get a word out of your mouth?
No, those people that were born like that.
That's certainly correct. It's certainly the people who don't have the physical koyach to speak. But is that really what it means? Is that the simple interpretation? It has to mean much, much more. It has to mean the person who can speak but does not have the vocabulary, is not articulate, does not have the eloquence where people will listen. Where people will listen to what he has to say, that is a problem. And it says that when Mashiach will come and we will be blessed with this nachal that will come forth from the Kodesh HaKodashim, built in, the koyach of that nachal will the nutrients of that nachal will be injected into the fruit, and when a person will eat the fruit, he will be blessed with intelligence that will come forth in eloquent speech. When he will speak, people will listen. And when he'll speak to the world will listen. And that is an incredible bracha. You have to understand the koyach of life is dibur. There is doimim, tsoimeach, chai, medaber. The koyach of a human being is medaber. It's the first targum. Good morning. It's the first targum in reference to the creation of a human being. Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim. Hashem breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life. Vatehi adam lenefesh chaya, and man became a living creature. And how does the targum translate the word lenefesh chaya? Leruach mimalila. A creature, a spirit that speaks. Speech? Doesn't say that in the pasuk. It says Vatehi lenefesh chaya, a living creature. Where did the Targum Onkelis, who is more or less Ruba de Ruba, a very simple, basic translation of the words? This is something you would probably expect more in the Targum Yonis and Menuziel. Targum Yonis and Menuziel goes off a little bit sometimes and injects Mamari Chazal. Okay, today we have Targum Yerushalmi. It's a big thing now. No, so the Targum Yerushalmi we have already for a very, very long time. But now it's becoming more accessible. So this is something you'd expect from a Targum Yonis and Menuziel, Targum Yerushalmi. But Targum Onkelis is not the typical thing that you would expect for him to go say something that's not explicit, a very simple translation of the words. But yet, that's what he says. That goes to show that this is the simple translation. That life, the definition of life, is the koyach of speech, is the koyach of dibur. And unfortunately, we have not been living a true life until the coming of Mashiach. And Mashiach is going to come, it says, the leaves, lisrufa, are going to bring healing. Chazal come along and tell, it doesn't just mean physical healing, it means hater peh. It's nutrikin, to loosen the mouth. What's to loosen the mouth? A person who is an ilein. A person who is a mute, which means he's lacking in life, l'ruach memalala, will now be given real life. And what is real life? The ability to communicate, the ability to express yourself. There's nothing greater in life than that power. And that is what...
It's amazing happens, that Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he wants to talk. Everyone won't understand it.
Moshe was a kavad peh.
So he has to get the koyach
malala. No, but he was already healed.
He was healed. Okay, the shayla was healed. Aaron was still his interpreter. Okay, that's a topic of discussion. Fine. A lot of the Gedolei Yisrael were not known to be orators. As Moshe Feinstein was not known to be, and he was the Gadol Hadar, but no, nothing. He was the Gadol Hadar. he was not known to be. Am I saying correctly? I'm not thinking of it.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He said what he wanted to say. He was heard. He was heard very well. He was heard very well.
Very well understood.
Okay, and you know, Rav Aaron Kol spoke very, very. He was spoke very, very. Many times he needed when he spoke at public events. It was always an interpreter, yeah. A person. My father's always would tell me that he was amazed with Irving Bunim. Irving Bunim, yeah. Where Rav Aaron Kol would come to an event, like a fundraising event or a dinner, and he would speak, a mile a minute, with fire. And Irving Bunim would say very complex things, and Irving Bunim would just sit there, and he would have a pen in his hand, and he would write down a few notes, and the second there of Aaron Kol, Zichron Levracha, would finish his address, Irving Bunim would get up and would explain to the tzibur exactly what he said in clear, simple English, and my father was amazed. How can this person on the spot? Just on the spot, absorb everything that Rav Aaron said and just give it over instantly with eloquence, with clarity, and to bring out the message. It's an amazing feat. It's an amazing thing. But it says over here that when Mashiach will come, this is the koyach of the average person is lahatir peh. Ilamim, like I told you, does not mean very simply a person, Rahman al-Islam, who can't talk. It means much more. It means, like I'm trying to explain, Upischoin peh la meyachalim loch. The koyach of eloquent, articulate speech. The koyach to communicate. The koyach to express yourself. To bring forth ideas. Upeh akarois. And what does that mean? It means to multiply. Okay, that's the other peh. That's the peh which means the peh which means the of an isha, which means a woman, Rahman al Islam, who's unable to have children, she will have children. Or if you want to say refer to something more symbolic, it means the ability for us to multiply. We live in a world where we're limited. Okay, we're limited. We can't do what we want to do. If a person would want to multiply in every dimension. Okay, wants to have a larger family, wants to be able to do many things, but you're limited by your resources. When a person is blessed, you know, the limitations are lifted, you can multiply, you can increase what you have to offer. Then he goes on to say the simple translation, put aside Mamari Chazal, means Rifu means healing, literally means healing. Kamo va yirapu eshever ami al nikala. Pasuk in Yirmiyah that he healed the shever of my nation, al nikala. I don't know what those words mean.
Easily.
So he will heal them easily. The Chayin Chibur Menachem says the same thing. So it simply it means refuah. It means over here.
Right. So he adds here that. According to Rashi, the shoresh could be resh pei aleph or resh pei hey. Either one.
Resh pei aleph is refuah.
Right.
Refuah, litrufa, lashon of refuah. Litrufa, the shoresh is resh pei, means aleph, to heal, rofe. Or it means lahatir peh, it means to open up.
So also either means cure.
Cure.
A hay or an aleph in the shoresh.
Either means a healing, a physical healing, or it means the ability, lahatir peh, to break forth in the various openings of the body. Next pasuk Yud Gimel. Koy Omar Hashem Elokim Gei Givul Asher Tisnachlu Es Aretz. Now we're going to describe over here the boundaries. Okay, so over here it's going to be a little bit complex. Okay, I don't really have too much clarity in this, but let's just try to do the best we can for the few minutes we have left. Over here we're going to describe the Gei Givul, the exalted boundary, or Gei also can mean a hill. Over here in the Mitzudos he says it means gay, just translates zeh, means this bound, doesn't mean he just translates it very simply this. The word gay is as if the pasuk said zeh.
Right.
Exchange the gimel for a zayin. Okay, via gimel in the mitzudos siyoin, kimo zeh, via gimel behu b'mokoim hazayin, be'at bach. These letters come from the same part of the mouth, and therefore there's a principle you can exchange one for the other. V'chein, Labag Lagoyim. There also means Labaz, the despised of the nations. We exchanged the Gimel for a Zion. It's in Elohim, Labaz, Lagoyim, the despised of the nations. Therefore, go back to the passage one more time. Koyama Hashem Elohim, Gay Gevul. This is the boundary.
As if it said Zay.
This, as if, Gay, this is the boundary, Asher Tisnachalu Es Aretz, which the Jewish people in times of Mashiach will inherit the land. Lishnei Osar Shifte Yisrael, Yosef Chavolim, we will add boundaries. Now, what are we going to add? Because there are certain Shvatim that did not get boundaries. Who did not get land in the land? Levi. Right. Shevet Levi did not get a chelek in the land. Now, when Mashiach comes, Levi is going to get a chelek in the land. Let's see the mitzvahs right away. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Gei Gevul, Ritzoyne Loimar, Ze Gevul Min Aretz. We're going in a few moments, going to the Pesukim, it's going to tell us exactly all the boundaries of the new division of the land. This is going to be the boundary. Zegvul min arit ashari tankilu l'shnei masar v'hu ha'amar b'mikrol shel acharav, which we're going to see in the future, in the next psukim. Yosef chavolim. What does that mean? Bozei yifaresh amarav eichem yud beish shevatim im shev levi lo yinchalu nachalo kemo shnema l'malo. If Levi is not going to inherit a nachalo, like it said, we learned before in Perek Memhei, the Omar hine Yosef yikach shnei chalokim Echad leMenashe v'Echad leEfraim. Okay, so he's saying over here, how do you have over here 12? Indeed, we're not going to give them a special portion. Their portion is going to be in Yerushalayim. Okay, so they're not going to get, what it means, it doesn't mean they're not going to get land. They are going to get land. That's something that's different in the Bayis Shlishi that was not in the Bayis Sheni. In the time of Mashiach, they will, but it means the land that they will get will be cities inside of Yerushalayim, along on the perimeter of the Harabayis. But it's not the same. It's not actually their land 100%. Okay, we'll have to see what that means a little bit later on. Let's hold off on that.
All of Yerushalayim will be divided up into also into Chalokim v'Shev equally.
No, that's not.
That's what it says.
Barbanel says okay, because that's not the part of Shat.
Yeah.
Part of Shat is it was only given to Kohanim and Levi. Okay, we'll see later on. I don't remember.
That's right. As opposed to Binyamin and Yehuda, now it's going to be equal for everybody.
Okay. We'll see. But over here he's saying, wait, if you're going to exclude Levi, how then are there 12 Shvatim? Levi is one of the 12 Shvatim. So the answer is Shechem Achad Alachecha. That you're going to get, that Yaakov said, you're going to get an extra portion of Ephraim and Menashe. They are the two branches of Yosef. Yosef is divided into two, the sixth parasha, right? The sixth parasha. Yeah. Look at Mamish and Yonah Dioma. That's how we're going to have 12 different portions. Let's see, Rashi, Pasik, Yud, Gimel, Gei, Gevul, Targum, Yonason, Dain. The word Dain is the Aramaic equivalent of the word Zeh. Dain, Tichumo, Kamo, Zeh, Gevul, V'chein, Unisaticha, Lebag, Lagoyim. I will make you despised among the nations. Kamo, Levaz, Lagoyim, V'chesh, Oyd, Liftar, Gei, Lashon, Gai, a valley. That's how I translated in the beginning. It means a valley. Is that what it said in English? The guy is a valley?
Yes.
A valley of, this is the valley. Each section of the land is called a guy. It's called a valley. Yosef Chavolim, we're going to add Yosef, Yosef over here does not mean in addition, it means Yosef in the Pasuk means to the Shevet of Yosef, we're going to give B'loshon Rabim Chavolim, two portions, not a chaval, not one rope. Chevel means a rope. Chevel nachala. So the word chevel literally means a rope, and we use the word rope as a borrowed term to describe a boundary, a location. So here he gets two ropes, which means he gets two portions. Yosef gets chavolim. Yosef yitol shnei chalokim echad lemenashe v'echad leEfrayim.
It's the same as before, in the past also. Ephraim and Menashe.
Ephraim and Menashe shechem achad alachecha. Right, that is correct.
No,
because there also the one who did not get land was Shimon. Shimon did not get any territory. Shimon here, Shimon will get his own land. When they divided up Eretz Yisrael, Shimon was given cities inside the territory of Yehuda. Shimon did not get his own land, and also Menashe, Chatzishe Menashe, and Reuven and God. they did not get in the main part of Eretz Yisrael. They took the Eiver HaYarden. Here they're going to take a portion in the main section of Eretz Yisrael as well. So the division is very different. The division over here is very different than what was in the time of Yehoshua. And the most significant difference is it's not going to be done by the Goyrol. That is the most significant difference. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, it was done through a Goyrol. The Goyrol Techolekes Aretz. Here there is no Goyrol. There is a very, it's just handed down from Hashem, this is how we divide the land. And it's a much simpler division, it's just strips. Equal portions, 25,000 chavolim. Okay, which we'll go see right now. Next pasuk. They also get the Gerim get a chiluk? Abba Benel says.
Yes.
Okay, we have to see, I'm not familiar. Okay, okay, we'll come across.
No, he says, as opposed to before, because now that they've suffered the centuries as Jews, before they weren't, they didn't suffer Golus Mitzrayim.
They didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it. Now they can earn it. Okay, let's do a few suck. Let's see. Pasek Yudal Unchaltem Ish Keechav. Each one will inherit equally. That's a very big chiddush, because that's not the way it was in the time of Yeshua. The time of Yeshua depended upon the population, depended upon the number of people in your family and the number of people in the Shvatim. Here, that's not the way it's going to be. Everyone Shev is going to get the same amount. Unchaltem Ish Keechav. Asher Nosasias Yodil Sitel Avosechem. This land that I lifted up my hand, which means I promised, I made a shua to give l'sito la'avoseichem to your forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, v'naflo haaretz hazos lochem b'nachla, the land will now fall to you b'nachla. Okay, it's very fascinating. Over here, we're going back to the Avos. We're going back to the Avos. This touched upon an idea which to me resonates with me very, very much. I really enjoy this idea, is that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, according to the Rambam, is not counted as one of the Tayag Mitzvos. It's a Pella Otzma. How could it be the most fundamental thing in our nation that you have to have a homeland? A nation is not a nation unless you have a place to live. Yishuv hisnachaltem oisa loresha sachuza. How could it be the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz is not counted as one of the Taryag mitzvahs according to the Rambam? The Rambam, you know, most of the Rambam has made its way into Shulchan Aruch. Rashi, the Rabban Shel Yisrael, most of his opinions in Halacha have not made it into Shulchan Aruch. Very rarely do we pass like Rashi. When Rashi says a chiddush in the Gemara, very rarely does Rashi's Piske Halacha, or his understanding of the Sugya, result in Halacha. Tosfos. What?
Except for
Tfilin. Tfilin, you're right. It's a good point. Tfilin, we do follow Rashi. It's a very, very good point. Right, it's true. But all the many halachas, Ruba the Ruba, we follow Tosfos. We follow the Chos, all the Mahal Tosfos, his opinions. And the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch is like nine. Mechaber is all is mamish, right. Or is lifted from the Rambam. It's all the Rambam, and then you go down again. The Rif and the Rosh, and the Mechaber. The Mechaber took he took the majority of the Rambam, the Rif and the Rosh. That's the Mechaber, and Ruba the Ruba, the Rambam is always one of the majorities. He's always on the side of the majority. Yet the Rambam says the mitzvah, the most fundamental mitzvah in Klal Yisrael of Yishuv HaAretz, is not included in the Tayag mitzvah. So are you talking? Okay, there are a lot of answers. Okay, there are answers. The answer which I enjoy the most is that if you look in the words of the Rambam holds there are two different categories of mitzvahs. When Rambam begins, the mitzvahs, he says there are Tayag mitzvahs which were given to us through Moshe Rabbeinu. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is certainly a mitzvah. It's at a higher level. It was given to us through the Avos. Taryag mitzvahs is through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was given again. Mila was given Nochma, by Matan Torah was given Nochma, was given all over again. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael was not given again. Yishuv Giranosha was also not given again. That's right. Giranosha was the other exception we spoke about 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago. The other exception, that's correct. But the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael was given from the Avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's a mitzvah deraisa. But when we say that it's not part of the Tayag mitzvah, it doesn't mean that it's not a mitzvah. Adarabah, it's a mitzvah on a much higher plane. It's a mitzvah from the Avos. Hashem gave the land to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And here, the pasuk over here is emphasizing that point. This is a right to that answer. Over here, why does the pasuk need to say this? The pasuk says, when you inherit the land, Asher nosasi es yadi, I lifted up my hand, which is an expression I made a shvua, l'sita la'avo seichem. Not to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe emes v'toyra say emes. But Yishuv Aretz is for the Avos, v'naflo Aretz hazos l'chem b'nachala, v'fulti b'nachala. Pasuk tezvav. Let's start some of the psukim. V'zeh gvul Aretz. Here we start the boundary. So if I really need to make for you some charts. I didn't prepare this. There aren't really too many. I don't think I really want too many charts. Let's just see what it says over here. Now this is going to be v'zeh gvul Aretz l'fas safayna. Let's start from the tzafah in the north. Min hayom hagadol, haderech chesloin, the path of chesloin. Now, what is chesloin? It's a place. Okay, it's nothing more than that. Okay, bolo Rashi. There's no mitzudos on this. I'm just seeing, but Rashi. I'll jump into the Rashi. Rashi says bolo litzad mizrach el chesloin. It's the name of a place. Do we know that it is today? Anyone familiar with this? Anyone over here who's an expert in geography and Eretz Yisrael? Ever hear the word chesloin in the north? So probably in Lebanon, all the way up there.
But I think Sadat is also in the original.
Levo to come to Tzedada. It goes to another place called Tzedada. Okay, let's see these psukim before we get too confused. Let's just see over here what we read so far. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Yudal and Tezvav. Mitzudos David. Ish Ke'echav. Shavit echad kachaveiro lo kachaluka harishona shemei Yoshua shelaku ish lefi pikudav. Okay, everything in all the mafarshim here is only one derech. Whatever it says here is going to be contrasted with the way it was done at the time of Yehoshua. Very, very different. Very, and that speaks volumes about what is taking place. So therefore, everyone is going to be the same. Not like in the time of Yeshua, which the land was divided based upon the number, the population of the people who came into Eretz Yisrael. Asher nasasi es yadi laharima lemala derech shavua. I lifted my hand up as a person does when this is an example when one makes a shvuah. Law says this aretz ahi lavosechem uchaimer lo yisloinenu kishayigora nachla shevet mehashvatim. No complaints. Okay, you would think when Mashiach comes, people are not going to complain. Nope, sorry, Rabbi Isai, that's not what it says here. Human beings, especially Jews, like to complain, and therefore, I don't want Hashem is saying here according to the Mitzudos. I don't want any complaints when Mashiach comes and I give you land, even though the amount of land you're getting may not in your eyes be sufficient for your tribe. I don't want lo yisloinenu kishayigora nachalam shevet mehashavatim mimashe nachlu berishoina. There are going to be some shavatim that are going to claim that we're getting less now than we got in the time of Yehoshua. What? It's not enough. But he's saying those people who got a lot and did not complain then are going to would have a havamina to complain now. Hashem says, I don't want to hear the complaints. No complaints. Kil kine lo nishvati ke kine lo nishvati lo seis aretz lo isam sheni chaluga barishayna aval nishvati lo seis lavo seichem. So I told you a drush on the pasuk. L'sita la'avo seichem is, and it's not the tayag mitzvahs. The mitzudos is telling you pshat, and the pshat he's saying is that when you're going to complain that it's not fair, it is fair because the nachla is going back to the avos. The nachla is not going back to the shvatim. Here it's a very fascinating idea. It's a very deep idea. When Yeshua divided the land, it wasn't 100% related to the Avos. The Nachla was a Nachla, the Shvatim. We ignored the Avos to a certain degree, even though that's apikursis to say that. We don't ignore the Avos. The land was only given to us through the Avos. But it's not the ultimate Geula. The ultimate Geula forces us to return to our roots. And when we talk about the roots, we mean the root of the root. It means the Shoresh, all the way back to who? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. When you focus on Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, then you divide the land among their children equally. When you divide the land to the Shevatim, and you're not taking into consideration Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, then you're going to divide the land based upon the population of each individual Shevet. So the Chaluka of Yimos HaMashiach is the Chaluka that connects us to the Avos more than the Chaluka that was divided at the time of Yehoshua. At the time of Yehoshua, the Avos were only in the background. The Iker focus was the Shvatim, which is not ideal, because the land was not promised to the Shvatim, the land was promised to the Avos. But when Mashiach comes, the land's divided to the Avos, and that's why there's going to be an equal division among the Shvatim. Next words in the Sukkot of Aretz, Nazos, Naflo, Lechem, and Achlo, Leresh, Leresh, and Avos, Viad, Kulam, Shav, Ba. Okay, Pasik, Tezvav, and the Mitzudas, Vezegvul, Aretz, Lechoshav, Kan, Kim, Gvuli, Mitzrei, Eretz, Shol, Levad, Velo, Shol, Ever, Hayardin. Next issue. How come here in this section that we're going to learn these last two prakim, we're not going to make mention of Eiver HaYarden? We're only focusing on the Yarden on the west. Okay, the west, what we call the West Bank, is not what we call the West Bank. It's because that's really, the West Bank is really the Iker part of Eretz Yisrael. So, but we're only focusing on the Iker Chelik of Eretz Yisrael. We're not going to mention at all the portion that was given to God, Ruvain, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. There's no mention. Uchmosh Zocha B'Torah. And that's why in the boundaries that we discussed in the Psukim, we mentioned these places, there's no mention on that side. Now that's, why not? Why? What happened to that part of the land? What has changed? That has to be discussed. Next, Lefas Safona. So first we start from the north. Hagvul Mipas Safon Mimarov. So we're going to start from the northwest. Okay, that's where we start from. And that is opposite the Yam HaGadol. Klape HaMizrach. From the west to the east, Humin Hayom HaGadol, so going along the Mediterranean, all the way to the east. Where are we stopping? Now the Yarden is not there. The Yarden first begins much lower. So it goes up, or going all the way to the very, very top. There's no Yarden there. So what is the boundary? Min Hayom HaGadol El HaDerech HaHolech L'Chesloin, a name of a place. There's an ancient road called Chesloin. Umisham HaHolech HaGvul Levoi Tzod. It goes to Tzod. It's very fascinating. If you go and you can map an area to show you, they have records today, roads which they know are 3,000-4,000 years old. When I went into this last week to Eretz Yisrael, this is my brother in Tal Piot. My brother, he teaches in Tal Piot. And he teaches in Merkaz HaTorah, where the Rosh Yeshiva there was just Nifta. It was Nifta 2 days ago. I remember when I went there. What? Elephant. No, not elephant. His name is Rotman? Rottenberg? No, not Rottenberg. There were many, I don't remember, there were a few people who said, one of the main founders. I remember last year, he was not well. He was not well, and I was there a year and a half ago. His son, I was very, 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 I was very, very impressed. He took him every day to davening, and he sat with him the whole davening. After davening, in Talis and Tzvillin, he was not well at all. And I was really amazed at the Kibbut Avraham that his son, who's now the Rosh Hashiva, one of the Rosh Hashivas, he took care of his father. And in fact, when I went last week, I asked my brother, where is that fellow? Where is that person? So he said his condition has gotten to the point where he can no longer come. And I was very surprised. Like the day after I came back, I read in the news that he was Nifter. And I asked my brother, I called him up, he says, yeah, that was the person that you saw last year. He was Nifter. And the whole yeshiva, they had a levaya, it was a big levaya. The chulu.
Where's
Tal Piot? Oh, so Tal Piot, I can tell you in more detail where Tal Piot is. It's not too far from the Har HaBayis. You can see from Tal Piot is an amazing view. I actually have a video. I have a video of it. The Rosh Yeshiva there, he took me when I was there. I reminded him that last time I was here, you told me that from the roof you can see the Har HaBayis. But you never took me to the roof. So he said, okay, come back to me. I'm getting the key. At 12 o'clock, I'm going to the roof. And sure enough, he sought me out. He took me to the roof and he showed me, gave me a tour from the roof. You can see the Har HaBayis. And then he took me in the car and he gave me a tour of the whole Tal Piot, and he took me sightseeing, And he took me on this road, this modern road, and he told me there is a tradition, there's an historian which knows, which has proof, that this road that we're driving on right now is an ancient road. You never know because it's a modern road. You know, it's paved and there's streetlights and everything is there. But this road goes back 4,000 years. 4,000 years. What? I don't know. I don't know. I have it on video. If you want to have it on video, I can show you. I have it on my phone still. I can show you later. 4,000 years. And he told me that this road, there is a tradition that on this road is the place where it says in the Torah, when Avram went to the Akedah, Vayar es hamakoy merachik. He saw the mock and he told, Shvu lechem im hanar, shvu lechem po, vani vahanar nelcha adko. Here, there's no proof to this. There's a legend. We know for a fact that this is an ancient road that goes back 4,000 years. It's the north of the Har HaBayis. And from there you can mamish. There's a breathtaking view. You can see Har HaZeis. You see the whole Har HaZeisim, and you see the Har HaBayis, and you see. He says that years ago, before they were the Jews, who was sakana to go to Yerushalayim to be 1920s. This is where Jews would assemble to be mispalel. They were not allowed to go anywhere near the Har HaBayis. After the boundary, there's the Arab towns and villages. This was the last closest place where you can go to see the Har HaBayis, and Jews would assemble here in the 1920s and before that to be mispalel.
The 20s they could go.
Maybe then I don't know. He told me the 1920s. I don't know what he means. I don't know. But in any event, over here, what struck me though is that, you know, in Eretz Yisrael there are ancient roads. The Derech HaMelech Nelech. There's something called the Derech HaMelech. They actually have that. That's not an Eretz Yisrael. That's in Edom and Moab, along far away. There
also love the EA Hayam. That could be part of the whole of Eretz Yisrael.
I don't know. We don't know. The different opinions of the Gemara. Yeah. It expands all the way out into the ocean, to the Mediterranean. It expands into Europe. Expands. Who knows how far it expands? But over here, we're only focusing on this section. So we have to just appreciate that you talk about roads. These roads that are mentioned here in the Pasuk, many of them still exist. They still exist. It doesn't just happen that the roads disappear. These are ancient roads, and they've just been paved, and they've been modernized. But you may not even realize that when you're traveling down a highway in Eretz Yisrael, you know, this road may have been here 4,000 years. That's pretty scary stuff. 4,000 years. What do you find something so? You would never know. You're driving down the road. There's traffic light streets. Who would know? This is a road. 4,000 people were walking on this road. It was the main highway. It's an amazing thing. And you have to have the evidence. You have to have the proof. There's the knowledge to know this. And likewise, you see over here, there's a derech that goes to Chesloin, Levoit Sedada. These words really mean something very significant. We don't really appreciate what they are. And this is the northeast boundary of Eretz Yisrael, way, way above the Yam of the Yarden, the Kinneret, way above that, because we're going through the north. I guess the Yarden really begins in the middle, I would assume, right? Isn't that really the Yarden?
Well, the Yarden is like by Tveria.
It's like the middle of Eretz Yisrael, where the Yarden first begins to appear. So this is way, way up, and that's where the border is. Let's finish up the Mitzudos. And the Mitzudos, over here, wait. Okay, that's it. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Yudalid. Ish iki achiv loyka rishona ish lefi pikudav. Rashi says the same thing as the Mitzudos. Not like it was originally according to the number. Ela achshav kol hashvatim shavim kumin shua sakerem. Now he goes on, Rashi tells us a little bit background for what we're going to the next to Parakim, is that it was not like in Sefer Yoshua where the land goes up here, goes down here. It looks like the United States, Havdalos. Okay, you have all different little chunks of land here and there, and it's very, very hard to figure out where the boundaries are. It was straight. You just drew straight lines like a row, Shura Sakerem, like the rows of a vineyard. Kol chelik v'chelik min agvul ha-mizrachi ad yam ha-agyonus. Every section of the eastern, from the Gvul HaMizrahi, from east to west, spanning the entire width of Eretz Yisrael, was a straight line. Lamar of Kamosha Farsh Binyan, Ein Shne Shavatin, Birutsu Achas, and each Shavit has their own strip of land. Tezvav, next Rashi, Vizegvul Aretz, Techumei, Mitzray Eretz. So here are the boundaries. First from the extremes. Lefas, Safayna, Ruach, Safayna, Smenayam, Agadol, Hushua, Gvul, Amarav, that's the west. Haderech, until the east. What's the eastern boundary on the northeast? Haderech, Chesloin. A road called the Derech of Ches that goes to Chesron. Bolo Litzad Mizrach, it's on the east side. El Chesloin, the El Tzedada. I guess there are two exits. The El Hamas, that's the next passage we're going to do yet, but we'll read Rashi. The El Hamas, Uvei Rosa, Visiv Rayim. These are cities. Kol Hayaros Halalu Metzer Metz Bemetzer. So through the passage, we'll read the passage. We'll stop with this passage. This passage over here says, passage is Hamas. Now this is not the Hamas that's in the south, right?
No, it's in the north. It's in the north. Maybe about St. Andrew
Hamas. It's in Syria, actually.
Yes.
Isn't there a Hamas in Gaza? In Aza? No?
Hamas is there's a city of Hamas
the water, the
in
right
Syria.
Okay.
Hamas, not to be confused with Hamas. But so you see they're drawing a
okay.
line that goes
from the
Lebanon,
west to the east.
That goes through Lebanon and then into Syria because it says it's near Damascus. So.
Right. Hamas and Beit Rosa, Sivrayim, these are three cities. We have a road. And the road takes you to Cheslon and takes you to Tzdada. And when you go on this road, you're going to pass Hamas, you're going to pass Berosa and Sivrayim, three ancient cities. Asher ben Gvul Damesek, which is between the boundary of Damesek, Ubein Gvul Hamas, Chotzer Hatichon, a courtyard that's in the center. Asher El Gvul Chavron, along the boundary of Chavron, name of a place. That's the finish of the Rashi. The Rashi over here says, Chotzer HaTichoyin, Tirgim Yonason Berechas Agivoy. This is a pool. Okay, HaTichoyin means it was some type of pool over here. I have in my parish the Sifsei Zakenim on Rashi, and he says, I don't know what Rashi is saying. Eini yodea leforesh kavonosoi bozeh from the Sfas Emes, and that's not. I don't think this is from the Sfas Emes, from the Ger Rebbe. I think this is a different Sfas Emes. He says it's not really clear what Rashi means over here when it says the Chotzer HaTichoyin Asher el Gvul Chavron Gvul Damesek. Okay, Chavron, he seems to say, is the boundary of Damesek, the Mizrach, Samuch, Limiktsoy, along the corner. Okay, so this is the name of a place. More than that, I don't know. And he just defined over here the boundary of Eretz Yisrael on the northwest from the Yam HaGadol all the way to the northeast, which we pass through the area of Damesek. We pass through Damascus, which is in the area of Syria, obviously. And there are cities. We go along these certain roads. And we pass through different cities called Hamas, Berosav, Sivrayim, and it can be found between different boundaries of this place called Hamas and the Chotzer HaTichoyin, along the boundary of Chavron, which appears to be a place in Damesek. Damesek, which we call today Damascus, which is part of Syria today. It's not really clear. We can identify exactly where these locations are, but it's somewhere up north, the northeast, and that is going to be the northeastern boundary of Eretz Yisrael in the time of Moshiach. And we're going to stop over here with Pasuk Yud Zayin. We'll pick up Hashem on Monday.